where? Into the promised land. Into that promised land. Listen, after 40 years of wandering through the wilderness, they finally get to enter in. The swollen Jordan River before them stands in the way, but they do not stop there. Amen. There's the priest. Listen, they bring in the Ark of the Covenant. And as they began, listen, to put their feet into the Jordan River, the water ceases to flow, and it is heaped up before them. What a sight. Can you imagine what that would look like? What a sight. This allows them to cross on dry land. It's just like a reminder of Exodus when they left Egypt. Think about this morning. Their leader, Joshua, gives them directions to construct what? A monument in the center of the river. He does. To remember this day. And in the middle of the river, they construct it. Joshua 4, 1 through 9, it says, now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, it says, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe. Command them, saying, take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you and lay down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. And each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Thus the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded, took up the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua according to the number of tribes of the sons of Israel, and they carried them over with them to the lodging place and put them down there. And then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the feet of the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing. And they are there to this day. Now this reminder of the progress of God's people, all because of who? Almighty God. Amen. Had nothing to do with them. It had everything to do with Almighty God. One thing with them was obedience, right? They needed to like, they lacked obedience many times, amen? Thus is why they were 40 years in the desert, in the wilderness, right? Listen, their very existence was in the hands of who? Almighty God. Think about this. That Passover feast that is now still practiced and remembered to this day. It's a 3,400-year-old feast that they continue to do every single year as they look back to the Passover and the Exodus out of Egypt. It was God who freed his people, not themselves. Not much different than how we are freed today. Right? We're freed by what? The blood of the Savior who shed his blood for you and for me. We are free indeed. Are you free this morning? Do you know Christ the Savior? Is there a past where you surrendered, listen, to salvation and the Lordship of Christ? Is there a past time? Do you remember that time?
Amen.
We must remember. Listen, with pounding insistence, our call to remember is repeated throughout the Bible, throughout the Scriptures. Remember how God called the father Abraham with many sons? You remember that? In his old age? You remember how they were in bondage in a foreign land and were set free through divine power? You remember that? Remember how God brought Israel to greatness, even in her weakness? He did, over and over again. In fact, the psalmist sums it up well when he wrote in Psalms 105, verse 5. Remember his wonders, which he has done, his marvels and judgments uttered by his mouth. Listen, those who forget fall into thanklessness. May we never forget. It appears that we probably will do no better sometimes out in our country. We see it every day in our society as it is. Amen? We see it. Even in church, People sometimes want to absolve the past and press on for today and our future, right? And not think of the importance of what the past was. Truly, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Listen, isn't the Word of God enough for us to bring us to Jesus? Listen, it's because of our past that we even have a future. It's because of our past that we have a future today. Is it true? It is true. Amen. Where Almighty God and His divine providence has brought us from. We need to let that sink in our lives this morning. May we never forget the value of our heritage and the source of every blessing that you and I have living in this country called the United States of America. And also here in Hills Church. I think on how America has lost her way, all because we have tried to wipe out the one true God. Our history, because we didn't agree with all of it. Come on, everybody. We're not all going to agree with everything. You may not agree with this sermon this morning. But I pray that you will listen with your heart and the Spirit of God in you. It's easy to take for granted all that we are and how we got here. Very easy to take that for granted. It seems it would be easy to make our own way without God. And that is exactly what's happening today in our world. Listen, pride will blind you every single time. Why? Because pride goes before what? A fall. In fact, more specifically, in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction. Destruction. Verse 19 says, it is better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. The devil, look at the devil, pride cast him out of where? Cast him out of heaven as Lucifer. Now he's working desperately to get you and I, and he has almost already gotten the nation what we love so dearly. We end trusting blindly in our own wisdom and power. And that's very weak. I'm telling you, that's weak. Not relying on our almighty and all-powerful God. And in our wrong-headed, self-confident, justifying our sin and living in it, we lose our way. We lose our way. For this reason, it's so crucial that we remember always. Must remember. Think about this. Every culture and every country has its memorials. I've been to a lot of lands. I've been to a lot of places all over the world. And I've seen a lot of memorials everywhere. They're to give us hope in the aspirations of our tomorrows. That's why we have them. They make us think of the successes and also the failures of our country, of the things that have happened, of the past, right? Success is to keep pressing forward, but also the failures is not to repeat the failures ever again. And we know those statues that have our failures on it. But when you tear them down, you remove. Listen, the generations in front of us have no reason to know anything about it. And they'll repeat it. And we need to think about it. The injustice of our past moralized, listen, teach us and remind us that we must not go back and repeat them ever. Listen, they were reminders of how good, listen to this, intelligent, thoughtful men can be devilishly deceived by a Satan who blinds their eyes. And then they commit into action what they think is the truth. It's just like the airplanes that hit the towers. Those men, listen, believe what they were doing. And they were devilishly deceived right now. They were deceived. Visiting Lincoln's and Washington memorials help us also to place value on the humble but strenuous beginnings and founding of our nation. It teaches that no matter how bleak the season of life may be, we have a divine agent. God Almighty, Sovereign, Lord of the universe, who can bring us through the storms of this age. When we live in, no matter what we face in our future. It helps us to look ahead and beyond, knowing we have the awesome Almighty God to inspire us, to equip us for every good work to succeed in His perfect plan. But sometimes we can prefer, listen, our memorials to comfort and reassure us rather than warn us or disturb us of our complacency in our country. This is why dwelling on the past, remembering, is a means of escaping the problems of the present and the disturbing prospects of our future. Sometimes we glory and deify the days gone by. Amen? We'll talk sometimes of how sweet things used to be. Oh, life was simpler. Friendships were closer. Listen, motives were much more pure, right? Morals were higher and so forth. Sometimes we look back at the past and think the days were better than they were actually. There was a lot of stuff happening in the past that we tend not to try to think about. That the best days have gone by, right? Listen, do you think that this morning, you think about that this morning? You think about the things in the past? You think it was better back then? In fact, most people who are disappointed with the present and the distressed over the future, guess what? They're living. They tend to live in the past. Do you live in the past? I think we need to be honest this morning. Do we live in the past? So their memories are important to them, right? They are. This is what they don't have, though. But they don't have hopeful memories for the future. Do you have hopeful memories for the future? We must have hopeful memories for the future, of the future. Do you have a hopeful memory of the future? See, these hopeful memories are not to drag us into the past and lock us in there forever. Amen? No, we don't do that. What hopeful memories do is do not tell us is the best life is over, right? Hopeful memories must thrust us into what? Into the future. So the Lord teaches us that are His children to remember the works of the Lord in the past. Why? To thrust us into the future. Amen? He wants us to be thrusted into the future. We are never called to remember the past for its own sake. We're never called to do that just for its own sake. We look at the wonders of the past with expectancy of the divine wonders of a hopeful future. That's what we should do. Do you want an example this morning? Well, I'll give you a good one. Here's one that we can all relate to this morning. Y'all see the Lord's Supper down there this morning, right? Listen, the Lord's Supper doesn't falsely glorify the past, does it? It doesn't falsely glorify the past. The bread, the cup, the broken body of Jesus, His blood. When we think of this, we can see our own lives, images of what? Of deceit, of betrayal, of cruelty, imposing themselves upon us, our sin. That's what I think about. The memorial feast confronts us with the disquieting fact that we humans are all too capable of what? Of striking, listen, out against true holiness and supreme goodness and treating it as demonic if it does not work out to our advantage. That is not the kind of memory we hold dear, amen?
Right.
We don't. But we see the Lord's Supper does much, much more. Amen? It reminds us of the sacrificial love of who? Of Almighty God. Listen, it speaks to us of a love that will never, ever let us go. His love never lets us go. A love that reaches out to us in spite of our own evilness. We see the Lord's Supper even more than this, right? We see a promised hope of Jesus that He will come again. That He will come again. That when He comes, we will drink a new wine with the Lord in the kingdom of God.
Amen. Yes.
Mark 14:25, Jesus spoke saying, "Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Jesus' own lips. The Lord's Supper not only points us, listen, to the past, but toward our promised future also. for us to remember and never forget. The past and the future are made into vital contemporary realities today. For us, by the presence of what? Of Christ coming again. He's coming again, folks.
Yes.
And so I want to take some time out right now, and we're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to think about some things. Think about your life this morning. Number one, think about, you may be out here, you've never trusted Christ as Savior. And I don't want you to partake of it if you don't know Jesus as Savior. Because you'll take it in an unworthy manner. Be what the Scripture teaches us. But if you're a Christian here and you've got unconfessed sin in your life, now's the time to make your life right with the Lord. So I want to take a few moments. That's just a bar of place. And we just want to give it all to Jesus. Amen. God wants us to give it all to Him. Let's pray together and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for all that you have done in our life. Lord, as we come to this table, as we think about the price that you paid for our forgiveness, to make us one with Holy God. Lord, you left heaven's throne. You came to earth. Lord, on the cross, you took all of our sin. You shed your blood to forgive us for all of our sin. You came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Lord Jesus, all of us, either are lost or we're lost. But Lord, you came down for each and every one of us. You who knew no sin became sin for the world, that we might become the righteousness of God in you. And that you, Lord, impart your righteousness to us when we trust in your shed blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And that we would repent and turn away from our sin and change to God. The best way we know how, following you and the precepts of your word, the power of the Holy Spirit in us, to show us the way to live for you and exchange life. We exchange our rotten life for a pure Jesus-filled life. Lord, somebody here may need you as Savior. I ask that they would ask you to come into their heart right now. This preacher, no prayer, can pray anybody into heaven. But I can definitely help and say, Lord, just come into my life right now. I believe, Jesus, that you died for me. I trust you by faith alone, in you alone, to come into my life today and save me this very day. I repent of my sin. I turn around from my sin. And I change you, Jesus, for all that I am for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Lord, I pray for my Christian brothers and sisters here today. If any of them have unconfessed sin, that they would confess their sin. And know that you're faithful and just to forgive them of their sin and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Let them do that now as my gentlemen come forward so that we can serve the Lord's Supper. which he did stop from celebrating, he took the bread, and having blessed it, it says he broke it and gave to his disciples. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your perfect body that was beaten and battered for all of my sin and all of the sin of every soul in this room. And Lord, you were without sin. That's why you were the perfect sacrifice, unblemished, never sinned the entirety of your life. But Lord, you came on mission, and the mission was to restore a right relationship between mankind and a holy Father that was broken in the Garden of Eden. And so God, we thank you for coming to earth and dying on the cross. We thank you, Lord, that your body was beaten and battered for us, yet it breaks our heart to know that you paid such a terrible price. It should give us the weight of what our sin is as it was applied to your body. Thank you, Jesus, for your body broken. bread that came down from heaven is not like the manna that your fathers ate and they died. The one who eats of this bread will live forever. Go ahead. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says on that same night, the Lord took the cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Father, we thank you, Lord, as we prepare to partake of the cup. Let us think about that cup. The cup that you asked to be removed from you while you were in the garden. That cup of wrath. But nevertheless, Lord, you said, "Not my will, Father, but yours be done." And Lord, if you hung on that cross, you poured out all your blood from that cross. You shed it to wash away all of our sin stains forever. But we're grateful for your sacrifice for us. For without it, we would not have everlasting life. With you, we would have it somewhere else. So Lord, help us, Lord, just to remember this time, the incredible price that you paid for each and every one of us today. Thank you, Lord, that we can remember. We can remember the past. Only if you look and be thrust into the future of what awaits all of us that are your children. All because of your sacrifice. Lord, we thank you. Corinthians 11, 25, it says, in the same way, he also took the cup. And after supper, and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. He said, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. 1 John 1, 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sin. Amen. Take and drink. First Corinthians 11, 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Thank you, John. Thank you. With Memorial Day, it is proper to think of the past and those who left us. Amen. But as Christians, this is not exclusively, this is an exercise of looking behind and thinking about what has been. For we all believe that even more wonderful things are yet to come for those people.
Yes.
Saved by grace through faith, who have already died, leaving us behind. I think this morning of my brother Tim. I think of Bill Sumner. I think of Linda Velez, Frank Chevitz, Teddy Green, Tom McMahon, Helen Foster, Sister Lois, Joanne Kelly, Sherry Butler, Richard Hoyt, Bud Wolford, Bill Edmondson, Susan Pulley, Susan Arnold, Janice Lyons, Tim Bailey, Brother Lloyd Yarder, Sister Marge Marr, and many others this morning. Because of this day to remember and partaking of the Lord's Supper, we have that blessed hope of seeing them all again. Amen?
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ alone. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In 1969, Clarence Jordan died of a heart attack. As some of you may know, Jordan was the author of the Cotton Patch version of the Bible and was the founder of Koinonia Farms, in an interracial community and innovative ministry in rural Georgia. His work had faced vicious opposition from many of the races in the area during the 50s and the 60s. In fact, when Jordan died, the local coroners, the undertakers, were of little help. Jordan was buried in a plain cedar box on a hillside on his farm. Millard Fuller, who was the founder of Habitat Humanity, officiated at the funeral. And just after the casket was lowered into the ground and the grave was filled, an unexpected thing happened. Fuller's 2-year-old daughter stepped up to the grave and began to sing the only song the little girl knew. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Clarence. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday at a funeral.
Amen.
How strange and yet how truly appropriate that is. For when a Christian dies, it is a birthday of a sort, because death is not ending, but a new beginning.
Amen.
Amen. And so when we think of our dead, let us do so with a hopeful memory looking forward. A hopeful memory looking forward for an amazing future still awaits them and the rest of us as well. Amen. I want to thank y'all for being here today. Let's not forget our past, because our past leads us to what is yet to come. We have a lot of folks out there that don't know who Jesus is. And so we have to reach them. they live here today, and we can reach them. Amen? I trust you have a great holiday weekend. I want to encourage you, if you've never been to the National Cemetery, they have a great service out there tomorrow. And I would encourage you to go out and check it out. And remember, amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our time together. Lord, it's my prayer, if there's anyone here that had trusted Christ as Savior, Lord, that they would let me know they made a decision for Christ today. And so I can celebrate it with them, and I can let them know what needs to be done next, what the next steps are. We thank you, Lord, as we think about Memorial Day on the Lord's Day, of all those who laid their life down, many of my friends who laid their life down so that I could preach, so that we could attend churches and enjoy the life that we enjoy. Help us, Lord, just to stay close to you, Jesus, throughout this day, this weekend, and every day. Use us for your eternal, everlasting glory. We praise you for it all. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.